your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan as reported in the daily, weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. The confidence men and their clever schemes are still in operation in this end of Michigan. A 70-year-old South Haven man found out last week that it doesn't pay to trust smooth-talking strangers. But it cost him over $4,000 for the lesson. William Cowell, who lives on a rural route near South Haven, reported the swindle to the state police last week after he had discovered that he had been the victim of a confidence scheme. Mr. Cowell met a nice-looking stranger in Kalamazoo a week ago, and one thing led to another. A third person entered the picture and used the old story of having a large sum of money to give away. This time he said that a rich uncle had died and left $15,000 to be given to some deserving person. Well, Cowell was told that the money could be his, but that he would have to put up $4,000 to prove his honesty. He provided the money, but when he reached home with what he thought was the $15,000, he found he had only three $1 bills. State police are investigating the swindle and plan to show pictures of known confidence men to Mr. Cowell, in hopes that he may be able to identify them. In the meantime, the victim is mourning his loss, having learned at a cost of $4,000 that you can't get something for nothing. The South Haven Tribune reported the story of the incident and mentioned another dishonest racket in an adjacent story. Reports have been received from persons in the South Haven Allegan area that they have been victimized by racketeers who charge exorbitant fees for cleaning septic tanks. According to James Curtis, Farm Bureau Secretary in Allegan, the racketeers charge whatever they think the victim will pay. Part of their work is legitimate. They give a preliminary estimate of $10 or $15 for cleaning a septic tank and tell the customer that there is a large amount of material that has to be removed. Then they charge 3 or 5 cents a pound for this removal job. According to the Tribune, one place was taken for $92 for the operation. The catch is that septic tanks only need cleaning about once every 20 years, and that the material which is removed includes the bacteria which make the tank work properly. In Athens, the townspeople are getting ready for their big homecoming to be held on August 18th, 19th, and 20th. The Athens Times reports that the celebration is going to be even better than last year. Among the items on the schedule this year is the softball game between the Athens girls team and an opponent yet to be selected. By the way, Athens is pretty proud of that girls' softball team. It's supposed to be one of the best in the state. The town takes an unusual amount of interest in the team, even to the extent that the girls' games are considered more important than many other baseball games. Athens might well take note of the success of the homecoming in Middleville for suggestions on interesting events at the affair. The Hastings Banner reported last week that Middleville residents are still talking about the 1949 homecoming, but already are making plans for the 1950 event. All kinds of prizes were given away at the Middleville celebration, including awards for the oldest woman present and the oldest man in attendance. A resident of Santa Monica, California, was awarded a special prize for having traveled the longest distance to Middleville. And Mr. and Mrs. Buell Sisson of Freeport were honored for having been married the longest time, 62 years. Well, Middleville is back to normal again for another year, but the residents will look forward eagerly to the 1950 celebration. The people of White Pigeon last week welcomed Robert Langlois to their community. Mr. Langlois has taken over the editorship of the White Pigeon Post, a weekly newspaper. He also is the editor of the Farm Bureau Post, described by the Sturgis Journal as the official Farm Bureau weekly publication for St. Joseph County. Charles Hackett, the former editor of the White Pigeon paper, was responsible for the revival of the weekly after it had suspended publication following the end of World War II. A recent suggestion made by a Sturgis resident put forth the idea that a small park in that town could be converted into a parking lot. The park was given to the city by a local church, and it happens by coincidence that it's located next door to the Sturgis Baptist Church. Another Sturgis resident wrote a letter to the editor of the journal, saying that a parking lot next door to the church would be a detriment, that cars coming in and out of the lot would keep the Baptist minister awake at night. The Journal took issue with this. It believes that a parking lot would be helpful. Says the Journal, the Presbyterians have been living next door to a parking lot for years, and they found that it provided convenient parking places on Sunday. Well, there's been some moderately cool weather in western Michigan in the past week, a welcome relief after the record-breaking heat the latter part of July. Although it was hot all over Michigan that period, Holland seems to deserve some special notice for record-breaking heat. Not only did July bring the highest maximum temperature there in the last 5 years, but according to the Holland Evening Sentinel, it also brought the highest minimum temperature, the highest average, the most rainfall, and the most thunderstorms. They really keep track of the weather over there. Just about the only record that July didn't break was one for the record for the coldest weather. Just wait until December, though, when those cold Lake Michigan winds whip through the town. Maybe the residents will even wish for some of that July weather back again. Here's a note for the readers of the Galesburg Argus. If you didn't get your copy of the Argus last week, you better call up the paper and notify the editor of the fact. A number of changes were made in the rural routes out of Galesburg last week, and that got everybody mixed up. Caused no end of confusion with the newspaper and the post office department. Last week's issue of the Argus tells about the changes and suggests that anyone who didn't get the paper should let the editor know. But if you're one of those who didn't get the paper, how are you going to know about the article? And that's why we put it on What's Doing in Western Michigan. Those customers who did get their copies learned that a school election is to be held in Galesburg this week to determine whether or not the town will have a new elementary school and a new farm shop department. One proposal will ask for a millage increase, and the other will call for the issuance of bonds to cover the initial cost of construction for the proposed buildings. Now for some of the stories in the news, here's my colleague, Harry Travis.
Well, a story in the Greenville Daily News last week bore the headline, Duckling Puts Best Foot Forward. All four of them. Yeah, that's right, a duck with 4 feet. This rarity of the barnyard can be found on the Harlan Jensen farm near Greenville. This duckling has had an odd start in life. In addition to the 4 feet, this particular duckling has been cared for by a chicken instead of its own mother. What does the duckling have to say about all this? Well, according to the news, he doesn't know the difference because no one ever told him he's different. Lynn Curtis of Sturgis is having bee trouble. Last spring, according to a report in the Sturgis Journal, Lynn built a wren house near his garage, hoping that a family of wrens would soon take possession. No wrens appeared, but the birdhouse didn't stay empty. In moved a swarm of bees. Curtis now wants to paint his garage, but he'd also like to keep on good terms with the bees, who swarm all over the area. Curtis is now seeking advice from people who know all about bees. He doesn't want to fuss around with his swarming visitors. Here's a story that sounds interesting. Eggs, 9 cents a dozen. Butter, 10 cents a pound. A newspaper subscription, $1.50 a year. Well, if those sound like prices of many years ago, your guess is correct. Those were the figures given by the Nashville News as being current in Nashville in July of 1898. The Nashville News is rightfully concerned with the fact that Nashville, which is a thriving community, nevertheless has no good highways leading to the town. The editorial columns of the News last week lashed out at the State Highway Department for failing to consider Nashville in paving plans. The town is located on M66, one of the most direct routes through to the Straits, and it's just off M79, which joins the county seats of Barry and Eaton County. Yet it's impossible to reach Nashville over paved roads. The News states that the people of Nashville have had enough of dusty and bumpy roads and wants the state to do something about it. The News editor suggests that Nashville residents form a cavalcade and descend on the State Highway Department's office in Lansing with their complaints. The editor thinks this may help to stir up some action on Nashville's problem. By the way, the Nashville News predicts that townspeople can expect the worst weather within memory this coming week. The reason? This is the week that the news staff takes a vacation, and the editors say that every time they plan a few days' rest, the weather doesn't cooperate. If they plan to head northwards to escape the heat, that week turns out to be the coldest and the most disagreeable of the season. Now, back to Dr. Dunbar.
Thank you, Harry. The Cassopolis Vigilant was happy to report last week that the Cass County Fair set records in just about every department. Over 2,500 exhibits were on hand for the fair, and all previous attendance records were broken by a throng of more than 16,000 people who attended the five-day show. The attendance, by the way, was about 40% above last year's total. Among the items reported in the list of prize winners from the Cass County Fair was the fact that a boy, Tom Howley, took first place in one of the food preparation contests. He outdistanced 15 other competitors, and all the rest of them were girls. Another county fair just ended last night was the 91st annual Berry County Free Fair at Hastings. The Hastings Banner reported last week that this year's exhibition was in many respects the largest in history. Record-breaking crowds attended the Hastings event every one of the five nights. A total of over $10,000 in prizes and premiums were offered at the various contests there this year, and every available inch of exhibition space was filled. Well, this week is Fair Week in Ionia. The big Ionia Free Fair up there gets underway tomorrow, the feature of opening day being an innovation this year, a monster parade. Miss Rose Sarlo, secretary of the fair, told me the other day over the telephone that the parade will take an hour to pass the reviewing stand. It will pass through downtown Ionia and then go to the fairgrounds. The Ionia Free Fair is the second largest in the state. Ever since the days of Governor Green, who was an Ionia resident, leading state and national politicians attend the Ionia Fair on Wednesday of Fair Week. It's called Governor's Day. We'll be over there at Ionia with our WKZO microphone this coming Wednesday, and we will bring you a tape-recorded broadcast of the highlights of Governor's Day at 5 p.m. That's this coming Wednesday. The Three Rivers Commercial had a story Wednesday telling of a suit started by a number of persons against officials of Lockport Township. They asked the court for an injunction to prevent a rezoning ordinance from going into effect. The plaintiffs charged that after they had purchased property in the township and planned to develop it for homes and small farms, the area was rezoned to prevent them from going ahead with their plans because they are Negroes. Farmer Pete's wife, writing in the Greenville Daily News last week, came up with a suggestion that the youngsters should find most interesting. She suggests that parents buy presents for the children on Children's Day, the same as the youngsters are expected to buy presents for their elders on Father's Day and Mother's Day. She goes on to say that she's certainly in favor of such commemorative days, but she's opposed to the degree to which they are commercialized. The dire financial circumstances of Allegan County were pointed out last week by the action of the Road Commission in that county. Already, the commission has laid off 21 workers and plans to release 35 more in the near future. The Allegan County Board of Supervisors is completely broke. In fact, county employees haven't seen a paycheck for the past few weeks. Homer Ward, speaking for the commission, said that he was aware of the need for good roads, but that the financial situation makes the personnel reduction necessary. Even if the county is broke, funds from the state could help, except that there's not enough money from this source either. The Allegan News reported that the release of the 35 additional workers must be done within the next few days. Now here's your announcer with a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll be back next Sunday at this same time, 1:45, with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.